This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just about 7:18 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Now, the Prime Minister has announced that the federal government will compensate states that maintain their forest reserves, although it remains to be seen how exactly that will be decided. And we want to look into the efficacy of this when it comes to encouraging states to do it.
So this is essentially going to cover the maintenance of forest reserves as water catchment areas, as well as to protect the forest against illegal logging. And the Prime Minister said that that formula to determine how that compensation would work will be studied by the relevant ministry. He said that it would be discussed with the economic minister in the Prime Minister's department, Datuk Mustafa Mohamad, as well as the finance minister, the environment and water minister, as well as the relevant Menteri Besars. Now, following this, Kedah Menteri Besar Datuk Sri Mohamad Sanusi Mohamad Noor said that the state government should get 100 million ringgit a year for protecting its forests. He says that it should be in the form of funds for the state, not in the forms of costs for things like tree replanting project and the like. His justification for this is that this 100 million per year is a reasonable one if you factor into the picture the loss of income that the state would suffer from forest products, as well as the cost of maintaining the forest. He said that the state government was making a huge sacrifice to preserve the Ulu Muda Forest Reserve, as the Muda River that originates from the forest provided raw water for the irrigation of paddy fields in Kedah, Perlis and Penang.
So, I mean, that's one option for the formula. Like we said, we don't know yet how it's going to look, but we know now what at least one representative at the meeting is probably going to suggest. Anyway, let us know, is this the way to encourage more states to protect their forests? In other words, to offer compensation, financial compensation. Let us know. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, taking us through how this might go from an economic point of view primarily, we're crossing over to Koh Yew Ling, political economist at Sergi & Am Advisors. Yew Ling, as always, pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, Lynn and Sharmila. How are you?
Good, thank you. So do you think that this move by the federal government is in fact an effective way to encourage states to protect their reserves?
Well, obviously, it's a shame that there wasn't enough funds from the state to allocate for this purpose so far, because we are talking about forest reserves. Malaysia in general has a figure in the high teens, although some people tell me it may not be so high, in terms of actual nature reserves. A lot of the areas are actually production forests where there's economic activities like logging and things going on, and of course, a lot of plantation areas. So we are really talking about the reserves, which is not a very big area. But nevertheless, the states don't have much funding because Malaysia has a system of fiscal federalism where the bulk is held by the national federal level, and most often than not, it's under 5% that goes to the states. So they are really chafing under the restrictions on revenue.
So the Prime Minister did say that the formula to determine this compensation payment will be studied by various ministries. What do you think should be considered when they determine this amount?
Well, I think the article report is interesting because it seems to see some sort of difference in what the money should be used for. Of course, I'm reading a little bit into it because the wish for it to go into the general funds of the state seems to be clear rather than it being allocated for a special purpose. And the way the state talks about it, that, you know, this is to offset economic projects. Therefore, it does imply that the state wants to be paid a lot more than what would be, say, hiring more forest rangers, getting eye in the sky and all that sort of protection onto the forest. But, you know, Malaysia is actually not a bad place in terms of forest protection compared to other places. But I guess maybe even the land zoning might want to be relooked, because when I looked at Kedah in details, we can see that people are really pushing the boundaries of regulation. It's protected by watershed, and the moment it's outside of watershed, there's a really massive activity going. So I think it's not clear that the rules are even sufficient.
And what kind of impact would this potentially have on our economy?
Well, I'm afraid I didn't have a chance to look at what the Kedah state revenues are, but I think it sounds substantial because they are talking about it being an opportunity cost or offsetting what is a development, because the state would have control of land matters. So essentially, it could do a lot of sand mining, sell a lot of concessions, the rivers. You know, I think Kedah does have a lot of those upper river sand mining. So there's problems going on there. And of course, sort of development of forest areas. And a lot of states also sort of move land in and out of forest zones. So the top line figure remains the same, but a lot of people say there's a problem because they excise, then they shift it, and therefore you damage that forest, and they maybe they get some degraded forest to add into it. So, and I think, you know, we've already heard this, right? In Selangor and Johor, other places like that, this sort of, you know, moving the musical chairs around within the wider figure, which then implies damage.
So do we currently have mechanisms at the state or federal level to properly assess how these funds might be used?
Well, you know, I wish there would be more transparency. I looked at this a couple of years ago. I actually opened the sort of state funding, and I realized that it's all over the place. I did a comparison of Kelantan and Kedah. And basically, if you look at what's land matters, and I included a sort of water, sort of, you know, land and water related revenues, I couldn't make sense of it. Because from satellite imagery, you can calculate how much hectares are being developed outside of, say, plantation areas, right? And based on that sort of general public information on hectareage, and you sort of divide it against state revenues for that kind of revenue that would be implied, it's very hard to understand. You know, like Kedah reports much more than Kelantan. And I think this is where some of these lands have been maybe allocated to yayasans or to Menteri Besar Incorporated, and it's not captured in state revenue. So how are we going to assess it if there is no clarity on where the revenue is being earned or whether it even gets given as a concession to other people? Because if you look at Sabah, they just had this amazing announcement of a 100 or 200 year concession for carbon credits given to an Australian or Singapore private equity company to sell carbon credits. And then there would be like a pulp plantation project associated with it, something like that anyway. But, you know, I mean, this is not exactly the same thing, but it gives you that feel of how states can really have very different mechanisms and different ways to privatize or give it out that does not enter the state coffers. So when is enough enough?
So I guess that leads us to the question of whether or not, really, when it comes to making states sustainable, is incentivizing environmental protections like these actually sustainable in the long run? Can we keep it going? Are there other approaches that we could be looking at?
I think we need a lot of good governance, a heck of a lot of transparency and accountability. One example, I think I often draw on it, is this Alaska thing, right? Where there is a state fund, a special purpose fund, where the oil and gas revenues, you could maybe put in all your land revenues in there. It could pay special dividends out to all the members, maybe people in the affected areas, the Orang Asli, or even all Kedahans could earn, from this special state royalty on land matters. And then maybe there should be clarity on how much earnings go in, like how many people are employed to do forest protection or other nature-based or other activities to protect the quality of the land and water basins and all that in the state. And if you take the Alaska example, I think more than half the people in the state are actually employed to look after the land.
Or Yuling, any final messages from you?
Well, I think I can't remark more on the need for accountability and transparency. If we say, look at just another example of Indonesia, whether it's a great idea to have regional fiscal budgets, I would say that, just a comparison between Malaysia and Indonesia, it's a bit hard to make, but I would say that they also have great problems, even though they have given a lot of funds into the state or provincial hands. And I think whichever way you structure it, there can be pros and cons, and the ultimate downfall really is a lack of governance and lack of transparency, no matter how you structure the revenue.
Yuling, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Kuo Yew Ling, political economist at Sergi Enam Advisors, talking to us about an announcement from the Prime Minister that the federal government will compensate states that maintain their forest reserves. They haven't decided on the formula, but I think as we've covered, there's perhaps more that needs to be decided on, including issues of accountability and governance. If you have thoughts you'd like to share, send them our way. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After the 7:30 news on Everyone's a Critic, it's going to be a review of a contemporary art exhibition called The Lopacha. So keep it here for that. You are listening to the Evening Edition BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.